seated. Thank you, team. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. What does that tell us? He is with us. It's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only One, full of grace and truth. God in human flesh, born as an infant. Why? To be the perfect sacrifice, to deal with everything we have to deal with from that age on up, to reach all of us who are sinners, who are separated, those who are interested in God and those who are not even interested in God. Right now, a lot of people would mock being in here. There might even be people in here who don't really want to be here. But what we're going to share today, it's for those who want Christ, to be found in Christ. It's one of the most exciting things about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, is the future. You know, in life we have hope for our futures. We have plans, and a lot of times most of those plans don't work out. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But even if they make it, it doesn't last forever. Retirement comes, old age comes, and then what? What's after that? Death. But in Christ, the future, much better than anything you can have in this world. We are Team Jesus, and we are here to understand what that actually means, to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to be disciples. Hopefully we're going to make a difference in this world. But before I get to my sermon, last week I was put into YouTube jail. For those that don't know, if you say something that the YouTube, and now we've learned from Twitter here lately, that the government was working with Twitter and YouTube to shut down opinions that the government doesn't like. Now, last time I remember, we have a constitution, right? We have freedom of speech in this country. It doesn't matter if the government doesn't like it. Well, I guess we don't have that much anymore. Because the powers that be can shut you down. So last week, a couple weeks ago, I got my first warning from YouTube that they didn't like something I said. So they warned me. And if they get it, and then they give you three strikes. And the first strike, they put you in what they call YouTube jail, where you can't upload videos or anything. You can't do any stuff on YouTube. And so that's where they stuck me, because people were wondering why I didn't post my last week's sermon and the event from Center Stage, the last event we had. Well, Sunday, they slapped me in jail. And so hopefully I'll come out of it tomorrow and I can post some videos and stuff. But they don't like what we had to say, so I had my first strike, and I guess I get two more, and then they kick me off of YouTube. It's amazing. And they removed my stuff. A lot of times on YouTube, they'll put a disclaimer that they disagree with what's ever being said in this video. But for mine, they removed them from YouTube. Excuse me. These were just sermons that I preached from this little pulpit. No. So, what are they scared of? Truth. Wow. Our government in cahoots with Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, because they're scared of this. But anyway, let's move on. We've been working our way through 2 Peter. Excuse me, I got something caught in my throat. Uh-oh, my coffee's almost out. Becky, you may have to open up the coffee shop. All right. This will be our last sermon for a while, because I'm going to take a break for the Christmas series. But it's awesome how it worked out today. And we have been in 2 Peter for a while, but the sermon today will really fit with what you see on the stage. So we've been in chapter 3, verse 10 for a while, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come on the unbelieving world as a total surprise. The last part of the of human history, as the Bible has told us for thousands and thousands of years. Even the unbelieving world knows something's up. Something's different in the world. They don't know exactly what, but they see changes and they know something is different. And what's different is God's plan is coming in and falling into place. And this day of the Lord is going to come on the whole world, that 7-year tribulation period. It's going to take most of the world by, as a thief would take something from you at night. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now we've been seeing this timeline. Excuse me. I don't know what it is. We've seen this timeline. Timeline, Levi. There you go. And we've been working our way through all the events between the tribulation period and the final rebellion, the great white throne, the final judgment. We've talked about many things. And we've been here talking about the last couple of weeks, the millennial reign of Christ. Who will enter into this millennial reign? Just the those who are righteous. How many of you are righteous in and of yourselves? Nobody on the face of the planet. So who gets to enter? Well, that's why Jesus came. So we could be made righteous in Him. And that's the only way. That's who will enter this millennial reign. You have to be born again in Jesus Christ. We talked about the governments. Today we're going to be talking about what life is going to be like during that millennial reign, that 1,000-year reign of Christ. So that's why I've entitled this sermon, The Earth in the Millennial Reign. Now you see around the pretty decorations, right? Right? The church transforms, doesn't it, on Christmas? Many of our houses transform inside and out. We add lights. But the church has transformed. Thank you for all those that came out yesterday and helped. And it's very pretty. It's very relaxing. It's transformed. It's different. That's what's going to happen to the earth. Christ is going to establish His government there in Jerusalem, and it's going to filter out around the world. But also, He's going to transform it, restore it. Maybe all the way back to what it was like in the Garden of Eden. Because it's going to have been decimated through the 7 years, the tribulation period. It's going to transform the earth. Let's look at what the Bible tells us. First and foremost, Isaiah 9 again, verse 6. Oh, thanks. I was like, what are you walking up here for? I mean, if you're trying to sneak out, you sneak out the back, not the front. Thank you, Lord. All right. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This prophecy was given 600 years before the birth of Christ. What's amazing, we have archaeological evidence of, we have a whole scroll of Isaiah from the Dead Sea Scrolls found in 1947. It has a copy of the book of Isaiah that predates Christ. And we know how much in the book of Isaiah it was prophecies of Jesus Christ. And here is one of them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now between this section and the next part of the verse, there's been a break. We've talked about that break. But here's what's coming still after the tribulation period, after Christ's return. The government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means it's going to happen. Satan, Han, mankind, you're not going to stop this. Kings of the earth are going to try. They're already trying. Some of you are already trying in your own lives by being sinful and rebellious. Or you know people who are refusing to believe in Christ, refusing to submit. But one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The zeal of the Lord will do this. It's best to do it now and find grace and mercy than find judgment and justice. You don't want judgment and you don't want justice. You want mercy and grace. Zeal of the Lord of hosts will form this. So we know this government, His influence is going to spread out from there. Let's look at the political environment of this earth during the millennial reign. Isaiah chapter 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. Now we know this is future because not all the nations have ever flowed to Israel as the center point of the world. But in this time when Christ's throne is established in Jerusalem, all the world will be centered on Him. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways. Oh, wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being taught by Jesus Christ? We read in the Scriptures, oh, we're like, oh, what if we could have been at the Mount of Transfiguration, or, you know, been there for the Olivet Discourse or the Beatitudes and be taught by Jesus? Well, you're going to have your chance. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Zion is Jerusalem. Israel shall go forth from the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. There'll still be people in that millennial reign that will have their sin nature and try to kind of go against this. But look what that says. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. No more war. Here's where the political atmosphere, it's one government and perfect justice and judgment. Integrity. No more politicians. We've talked about that. No more Democrats, no more Republicans. No more kings and presidents. So the political environment will be good. Peace. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No need for military. Let's look at the earth environment. What's the environment going to be like on earth? Because we know right now it's not good. Romans 8 tells us, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. What does that mean? When the fall happened, Adam and Eve, did God curse the land? Yes, He did. The creation wasn't wanting to be cursed, but humanity sinned. God cursed it to put it under subjection for hope. What does that mean? You see, if God had left the world in the great conditions that He'd first designed it to be, we'd be so comfortable in the world that we wouldn't care about Him. We'd have no cares, no worries. So He cursed the perfect, good creation He created in hope that we would turn back to our Creator. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The creation wants to get back to the way it's supposed to be. For we know that the whole creation groans right now and labors with birth pains together until now. The creation is hurting. And it's not just because of man's climate change, whatever. It wants to be back to the way it was designed in the beginning. So God's going to do that. Jesus is going to do this. Let's go back to Isaiah where we see this. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the wasteland should be glad. Be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Now, we have to understand one thing. When you think about Lebanon today, what is Lebanon? It's a mess. It's a country that's wasted away. It's a country that's in just their economy is collapsing. It just looks like ruinous heaps out of their cities. It's just a disaster zone, but you have to understand Lebanon back then, when this was written. It had forests, cedars, cedar trees, huge. Israel imported cedar trees from Lebanon to build Solomon's temple. Oh, Lebanon looks so different back then. Beautiful. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Starting out from Jerusalem and Israel and spreading across, deserts will bloom. Glory of Lebanon will be seen in all the places. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. The excellency of our God. What are we going to see when we look out? God's excellent creativity and power. And He's going to recreate. He's going to transform. He's going to fix what we've done to this planet. This 1,000-year reign of Christ is going to be living in really, really amazing earthly conditions. Restored beautifully. But here, the next verse talks about the human condition inside this earth that's being transformed back to garden-like conditions. Let's look what it says, verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. I'm talking about now. We who in the world who sees things falling apart, World War III and all the fear that's out there. There's a time coming. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, the return of Jesus Christ. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb, the muted, sing. So this time period, when He restores the earth, He's going to also restore humanity from its ailments, its physical ailments. How many of you guys have bad shoulders or bad knees, bad backs? Nobody? Well, all the hands shot up. Then it goes back to the earth's condition, the earth environment. The rest of verse 6. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I love how it's talking about the earth, and it talks about humanity being able to enjoy it. And then it goes back to talking about the earth. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. The desert, the wastelands, are going away. It's going to be beautiful. Then He shows this amazing highway that all people can travel if they so desire, to the very heart of Jerusalem, to the King Himself. Verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. It's going to be very obvious, this road is going to be created to take you to the King. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion, Israel, with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall attain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a time when there's no sorrow? You'll have no more sorrow. You won't sigh anymore because you heard something from some crazy politician or movie star. The news won't be bad anymore. It's just going to be this a time of the earth restoration, of good health, being able to travel to see Jesus. And there's not going to be any beasts to worry about. Back in the day when this was written, there was a lot of scary beasts running around. Let's look at the animal environment. Are the animals going to change as well? We find this in Isaiah 11, talking about this millennial reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Have you guys ever seen a real-life wolf? Anybody in here ever seen one? A lot of people, especially, I know a lot of teenage girls, a lot of girls like wolves, and I remember there was a time that Ariel had wolves and stuff, and they're beautiful animals, they look really nice. But have you ever seen what they look like when they want to eat you? Their cuteness goes away. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. This is not figurative. This is not allegorical. This is literal. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. God's going to put the animal kingdom back to where it was before the flood. After the flood, animal kingdom, it changed. Before the flood, the animals didn't fear man. Man didn't fear animals. There was a different relationship with animals. It's going to go back. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Let that sink in. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. It shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Politically, one government, beautiful, under the King of Kings. This government spreads out. Everything in the world is ruled by people with integrity and love for the Lord and a love for the people that they are over. No more politicians, no more criminals in three-piece suits. The political environment, no more war. The people, physically healthy, redeemed individuals, traveling to Israel to hear Jesus speak. The land, restored, beautiful, to walk in. And you can go out and you can walk in the thickest of woods, in the most remote areas, and not worry about animals. You know, I spent some time up in Alaska. When you go out in the back country, what's the number one thing on your mind? Bears. And wolves. They have packs of wolves up there. And the moose. You know, the most dangerous animal is the moose up there. But you're worried about these animals. And I remember one time we were backpacking, and what the grizzlies will do is they'll get wind of you, and then they'll backtrack on you. They'll go around you, and then come up on your back, your six, and they'll start tracking you. Either to eat you, or they know you have food. They've gotten that smart. So when you get into camp, you gotta store your food up in the tree. And one night we slept up in a tree because there was a grizzly tracking us all day. That's a scary feeling. I had a grizzly step out about from me to the tree here of the woods. And I know the number one thing with bears, you do not what? Run. That's the very first thing I did. You can't help it. You don't have to worry about those animals anymore. Now, right now, we can see small glimpses of what this animal kingdom will be like. What we get to experience, the kind of pets we might be able to have. We get small glimpses now of strange occurrences, stuff that goes opposite of the animal kingdom now, that's under the curse, that's waiting to be released, freed from the curse. Not just the lamb, but the animals. Play the next little video. That's crazy, isn't it? That's like a little pig in a blanket right there. You can just gulp it down, right? Fox and the Hound, Becky, from Disney. Relationships will get back to where they're not trying to kill each other. But how many of you guys would like, you know, I know a lot of you are cat lovers and dog lovers, right? Pet people, right? Or hamster people. I know, I got all kinds in here. But imagine having this for your pet in the millennial kingdom. Next one.
Okay, we got the file. There's your, Like millions of people around the world, Mark Dumas loves nothing more than to take a morning swim. But for him, there is a rather massive difference as Mark swims with a polar bear.
Now, polar bears are the only bears known to literally, they will hunt you. Other bears, yeah, there's bear attacks and everything, but other bears don't see human as humanity as their prey. Polar bears do. They will hunt you. But their little window, what it could be like with a polar bear. Grizzly bears, too. I want you to watch this next video. And you know, we think these guys are crazy because we hear about these stories of people having big animals as pets and then suddenly they eat them one day, right? They get eaten by their pet. But look, watch this bear and look at the claws on this bear. It's insane.
Dad's been around, but I mean, like, horrible.
That's what I had walk out on me in Alaska. Yeah. Now you know why I ran. No. Now see, I think he's thinking about eating him. He is. The idea is there in that bear. See?
Where are you going?
I mean, right now you think, that would be insane. I would never do that. Like I said, insane. But in the millennial kingdom, you'll have no problem. Whatever animal, you'll be able to go out there. Got one more video. The best, it's not the best quality. I can't find a great high definition part of this video, but it's an amazing story. Hopefully you guys can read all the lines that are there. But play this last one.
And
Whitney Houston song, right? There it is, folks. The hope. It was subjected to the curse. But the hope. God says, I'm going to restore it. But it's only for those who are in Christ, who have been made righteous by being born again, turning from sinful ways, turning from this world. But for some, the world just has too much of a draw for them. They want to be satisfied now. Oh, I don't want to wait for the millennium. I don't want to wait for. I want my best life now. I want what the world has to offer. Sin is more fun than going to church. People who believe in God are lame. They're nerds. They're stupid. Well, I've heard it all over the years. And guess what? For many years, I said those same things. But you see, the smart people are not the ones that go for the quick fix now, the quick snack, or the temporary, what's not going to last, fun. You're found in Christ. You learn who created you. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You grow in your faith. And you look forward to his promise, to the hope. And I'm not a cat person, but I'd take that cat. I'd take that cat and I'd stick it on my neighbor's dog. Did that get recorded? There's my strike two. YouTube. Folks, this is why we're excited as believers. What keeps us going? Is it coming to church? No. Is it reading the Bible every day? Is that it? No. Those things are amazing. And it is. When you really are being the church, it's not about coming to church or attending church. You're the church and you just love being here. You love being around your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you understand what the Word really is, you want to read it. But there's a future coming for us. You can't outdo God. We can't even imagine outside of ourselves. All we can imagine is what God has already created. God is the one that brought all things into existence. And all the great variety of life and animals, the designer, the architect, the artist that God is. And what He says, you can't even imagine what's coming. One more thing, the human condition, I love this. Isaiah 65:20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. That's from an old man if you guys can't see. For the child shall die 100 years old. Life spans are going to get back to being the way they used to be. You know, people used to live a lot longer than the average 70, 80 years we have today. A lot longer. The child shall die 100 years old. And the person who dies at 100 years old in the millennial reign will be considered a child. Someone just earlier was telling their mother, or someone is 97, almost 100. They know she probably won't be around much longer. Not here. 97 will just be getting started. And your knees won't hurt, and your back won't hurt, and your shoulders won't hurt. And you'll have a big old cat out back. Something to be excited about. But the world dangles these shiny things in front of us that are temporary and don't last. And we forget the future. We live in the world today. We don't live with our heads in the clouds, but we do recognize there is a future for us that is unimaginable. And it keeps us motivated. Keeps us excited. And that's why we're excited about Christmas and the little baby. That's why we decorate the church, and because that's where the hope comes from. This is what was foretold in the beginning. He would come to undo what Satan has done. And He promises us a future. As Paul said in Romans 8, verse 19, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, no matter what we have to deal with in this life, sometimes we have to deal with bad things because we live in a fallen, cursed world that God subjected because of the curse, because He wants us to turn to Him and find a better way. And we deal with a lot of bad things in this world. God blesses the evil and the good. The rain falls on both. And bad things happen to good people. But only those who are in Christ, the righteous, have hope, can handle the bad things that happen, because God gives us the strength to do so. And we never have to fear. We never have to fear. God says, do not fear. He tells His people, do not fear, 365 times in the Bible. You think that's by accident? We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear what man can do to us. And we don't have to fear when the powers that be put you in YouTube jail. Wow, really? You're going to put me in the corner for 7 days? Wait till the next sermon. We don't have to fear. And whatever we deal with in this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us and to us in the future. Whew. Right? Team, come on up. This song we sang a couple weeks ago, but we're going to return to it because we're finishing up the millennial reign, what it's going to be like during the millennial reign. And it's good. Christ is upon the throne. His government is established. People of the world are walking in the knowledge of God. The earth is full of the knowledge of God. It's under His control and power. And animals have stopped killing each other. And they won't hurt you. And man actually loves his neighbor as himself. It's good. And that's what this song is about. Joy to the Lord. It's not about His birth, really. Because when He was born, He didn't reign as king. He didn't have a government under His or on His shoulder. He came and put a cross on His shoulder. And He died as the Lamb of God to save us. Because He was going to return later as the King of Kings. And the government would be upon His shoulder. And He'll enter this millennial reign and He'll restore the earth and everything upon it. And it'll be good. That's what this song is about. It's not really talking about His birth. It's talking about His return as King. To do this, that millennial reign. So let's stand up and let's sing this. Glory to the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you do give joy, not happiness. Happiness comes and goes depending on our circumstances. But you give us joy. Because no matter what our circumstances are, good or bad, we have you. And if we have you, we have everything. We can deal with the worst of times in this life because the future is bright. Because it's a promise. And you don't break your promises. You don't lie. Everything we read in your word today is going to come true because you said, by your own zeal, you're going to make it happen. So, Lord, if there is anyone in here, right now, their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have not received your righteousness, been born again, and are not going to experience what we talked about. I ask you to reveal it to their hearts. That they're lacking, they're falling short of the mark. And the mark is you. It's not about being good, it's not about being religious. It's about being born again. I ask you to reveal it to their hearts that they're not right with you. And that they would come and talk. Come and talk to me. But for us, Lord, that this is our future. This is bright. We've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. I ask you to help us stay focused on our future. Not lose sight of it. Be excited about it. That should motivate us each day to live for you. No matter what's going on, we have you, and we have a bright, bright future. So Lord, I ask you to help us stay focused. Lord, let us go out in this time of Christmas and let us be salt and light. Let us spread the true meaning of Christmas. Share with people on why the little baby born in Bethlehem means so much. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, as we close. I had a thought and it just went out. It's always embarrassing. Oh well. It was good when it lasted. It was good for me. I don't know about you. But you have to be righteous to experience this. And we're not righteous in and of ourselves. We can never be righteous. You must be found in Christ. And don't think, because God is love, that He'll just include everybody. Because God is good and God is righteous, which means He has to punish those who sin. And for all have sinned, all of us. But there's a way out. It's being born again in Christ, being found in Christ. But it's not about just being religious. It's not about just saying a prayer you don't understand. And it's not about being baptized. And it's not trying to be good enough, because you can't. You must be born again. If you don't know what that means you probably are not born again. And you need to come talk to me. I have no agenda. I don't care if you ever come back to this church or not. I'm not after your wallet or your pocketbook. I want you to experience this. God saved me from being a wretch, and I want to help you stop being a wretch. That's it. I'm going to stand before, I don't need anything from you. I got Jesus, and I got a future. I'm not doing this with any agenda. I want you to find your Creator. I want you to know your Lord. I want you to know your Savior. And I want you to be saved. And I want you playing with those cats and polar bears. I really do. All right, team. We've got a week ahead of us to serve our Lord. Be salt and light wherever we go. Let's be motivated. Let's be confident in who we serve. And who is behind us, in front of us, and to our sides? Who shall we fear? No one. Let's break out of here, team. Count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.